I'm Matt Bush, the news director for Blue Ridge Public Radio. I'm speaking with University of North Carolina Asheville Athletic Director Janet Cohn, who sits on the committee that picks the 68-team NCAA men's basketball tournament. Tell us what it's like to be in the room while this is being put together. For so many of us, we spend so much time watching basketball and getting ready. What's it like to be in the room coming up with this?
You know, since I just got back last night, I guess I landed in Asheville about 11:30. So I just left the room from we were in New York on Tuesday through obviously yesterday when they did the selection show. When you're in the room, first of all, it's a great group of colleagues who are all part of doing this as a committee. That's a volunteer committee, but who work like it's a full-time job. And when we're in that room during the selection week, it's pretty intense because you are going through, you know, 351 teams. You're looking at who's still playing, tournaments are finishing. You're looking at really the quality of work throughout the season, getting reports and updates on injuries. And, you know, and so it's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun because, like I say, we spend a lot of time together. So it's kind of, you know, you develop this great relationship with a group that, you know, and for me, I'm on my third year. For some of those folks, our chair, Mark Hollis, it's his fifth year. So you get to know each other pretty good, too.
Some of the metrics that are used to pick the teams, do they change from year to year, or is one emphasized more from year to year? Have you seen that in your time on the committee?
Well, you know, there's a lot of discussion right now across the country about the metrics. And, you know, there's different things that we look at as a committee for sure. And one are different metrics. And, you know, the one metric that NCAA is using is the RPI, which you hear a lot about. But obviously there are other kinds of metrics that we'll look at. And just like any fan does, you know, there's so many different things, whether it's KenPom or different people that are analyzing. So yes, do we look at them? Do we consider those? We certainly do. But we also get a lot of information, like each of us are responsible for monitoring different conferences, like the SEC, the ACC. You know, there's 32 conferences. So we'll also get conference reports. Like I'm on a call. I have 8 conferences that I monitor this year. And I was on a call at least once a month with those conferences, getting verbal updates from them. But in addition to that, getting emails with giving updates each week on, you know, who's doing what in the conference, looking at statistics. So it's a lot more than metrics, or I should say a lot more than one particular metric. It's really gathering as much information as you can. So when we get to this big week, that you're able to really report and look at each team that we're considering and make sure that you got a fair evaluation.
You said on Tuesday you started the meeting in New York City, and then on Sunday the bracket comes out. How much is determined by Tuesday, and how much changes in the final 5 days with the conference tournaments?
That's a great question, and I've been asked that question before. You know, usually we arrive on Tuesday night and kind of get together and have dinner. On Wednesday, we really begin the process, and, you know, once again, we'll kind of give reports on each conference and each team. But by Wednesday afternoon, each committee member is going to begin voting on who they think. Because remember, there's 10 committee members, so each of us have one vote, who we think the best at-large teams are. And also, we start voting and kind of selecting who each of us individually think should be teams under consideration. So that's the very first vote that we do is on that Wednesday. And then from that point on, we are constantly reevaluating and doing changes all the way down to Sunday. Because remember, yesterday we still had a couple tournament games going on, you know, at 3 o'clock. And so it is changing. But once we get the tournament actually selected, you know, who's going to be in the tournament, then we get into the part about really trying to figure out what the seed, you know, is you know, one team a better team than another, that you really just start individually comparing one team to another team, and you just go down that whole, you know, 68 teams. And then once we're pretty sure that we got the seed list right, the order, then we start putting them in the bracket about, and there's some bracket principles, things you have to avoid, like playing a team in your conference in the very first round and distance travel and so many other things. So even yesterday, we had, at one point in time, we had several potential brackets. And then as a couple games finished up, we eliminated a couple. And all the way to waiting until those last games, you might have you know, this year we didn't quite have as many as a couple other years. I think one time we had like 12 possible brackets, and that could have been the final bracket. So it's a lot of work where you're meeting, take a short little break, come back, meet, take a short little break, watch some games, and then continue to do your due diligence with each committee member having one vote. And so I think the other thing for people to visualize is we're in this room, and like there's each committee member has like four computer screens in front of them. That information is coming up, and we're looking and evaluating. And then we each have our own laptop in front of us that we actually vote on, so that, you know, you're constantly getting these ballots that you start voting and comparing teams and deciding, first of all, who to select and then how to rank those teams.
So you say you have the ballots or laptops in front of you to do the voting. Does that make it sort of like a secret ballot so no one knows exactly who was picking, choosing?
Yeah,
what?
You know, and it's really the good part, too, when you vote, after you vote, you can kind of track who you've been voting for, you know, so, you know, as you're definitely comparing. So, you know, it's a fascinating process, and I've told others this. I can't imagine before all this technology, and actually we were laughing about it yesterday when we were getting ready to do the brackets. And it wasn't that long ago, they actually had like these Velcro strips with the team names on them. And they would be in a room and, you know, you'd be actually placing a team in a possible bracket, whereas now you got the computers where you can do so many different potential brackets. And you know, the technology also helps. As much as I love watching college basketball in person, to watch the number of games that you need to watch, it's no way humanly possible you can go to that many in-person games and do. Remember, we have these full-time jobs that are our real jobs. This is a volunteer committee. But the technology that, you know, that you can have in front of you to watch games, you know, where I might go home at night and, you know, get on a digital network and watch a game out in California, or I might get on, and we have a thing called Synergy, which is really an archive of every college men's basketball game in the country is, you know, uploaded in that thing every night, and you can go back and watch games that might have happened 2 weeks ago that you really go, wow, I'd like to see how that team did against this team. So the technology is really amazing that has really helped the process.
In addition, you are an athletic director. You just mentioned how much time you have to spend with this. How much time do you spend as being part of this committee?
Wow.
Not just the 5 days in New York, but throughout the year.
Yeah, throughout the year. We meet several times throughout the year, and we'll have kind of a recap meeting after the, you know, Phoenix, you know, obviously the next couple weeks, and kind of talk about what we're doing. Yesterday was not, our work is not finished because committee members are, in charge of running the first and second rounds, the regionals, and all the way to the championship, along with, you know, host, like I'm assigned to Greenville, South Carolina. So obviously the Southern Conference and Furman are the hosts down there, and we'll have some NCAA staff, but the committee members are responsible for that site. And then I'll leave Greenville, come back to Asheville for a couple days, and then I'm in Phoenix where Bruce Rasmussen, who is the co-chair, he and I will have the Kansas City. I hope I said Kansas. Yeah, I'm going to Kansas City next. And then once we complete the regionals at Kansas City, I'll come home for a couple days, and then we're at Phoenix for the Final Four, because the committee work, even in March, is truly March Madness, because we have to be at those sites and, you know, whether it's working with the TV folks or the people that are hosting in that, you know, city, and or the basketball officials, that's all part of our job as part of being in the committee. And so then after March Madness and the Final Four, we'll get together. We'll have a summer meeting. And during the summer meeting is when new committee members come on board. So usually you have two to three that rotate off and you serve for 5 years, and then you get two more or three more that join. And so you always have a core group that kind of know what's going on. And then we'll have a meeting in the fall. We'll have a meeting in January, usually at the NCAA convention. And so, you know, throughout the year we're meeting, you know, at least four to five times. And then we have quite a few, and this is a good part about technology again, conference calls and those kind of things that we can touch base with each other during the year. So you got to be well organized, and you have to have a great, I'm going to say this, Chancellor Grant, my boss, has been wonderful. She thinks, you know, this is a really important committee for me to serve on. So one, I always want to thank her for allowing me to do that. And then my staff here at UNC Asheville has just been wonderful, because obviously when I'm not here or another committee member is not at their own university, somebody's got to still do the work, because, you know, we still have our teams. And by the way, our women's basketball just won the Big South Conference Championship yesterday, so they'll be in the NCAAs. And our men are the number one seed in the Collegiate Insider that's going to be starting on Thursday night. We'll play at UT Martin. So remember, that's all going on while we're trying to do March Madness too.
That's a lot of work, but guessing you continue to do this because you like it.
Oh, man. Like may be too soft of a word. I say you got to love it. You have to have a passion for it. And, you know, I've been so fortunate in my career, both as a coach and administrator, to really work with some wonderful people and student athletes and coaches and administrators. And really, you know, the reason I'm so passionate about it, I really believe athletics is one part of academics, you know, one part of the educational experience. And if it's done right, it's really special and a great opportunity for young people and coaches, and obviously gets your community excited too. So I'm really passionate about it because I see a lot of the benefits of what we do and helping young people and really, you know, your university and your community.
Last question, one big in the minds of just about everybody in North Carolina probably today, even here at Blue Ridge Public Radio within the BPR news team. We have people on either side of this one. So Duke is a 2 seed, North Carolina is a 1 seed. How did that come to be, even though Duke beat them twice during the regular season?
Well, I tell you, you have to look at the overall Duke's resume. And, you know, I think they had 10, 12 top 50 wins, and 8 of those are on the road. So I want to always remind, and obviously North Carolina had a wonderful resume too and is a top team and is certainly worthy. And I think that's the challenge for people to really understand, especially in a year like this year. You know, those – I'll go pretty deep into it. You know, there's a lot of teams that could win the national championship. That's how much parity there is in men's basketball. And when you're trying to compare, you know, the 1 seed line, the 2 seed line, the 3 seed line, I mean, there are just sometimes so little difference between teams. And, you know, you're really looking for those things. I think Duke, what we also want to realize that, like I say, you know, 8 quality wins on the road, and obviously what they did in the ACC tournament actually helped them move up some. And Carolina equally has had a great year. If you look at their resume, it's certainly worthy of a number 1 seed.
That was University of North Carolina Asheville Athletic Director Janet Cohn.